Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Dr. Daniel Sadiq, your host, welcoming you to this week's program of A Moment with Self. I am a practitioner in clinical psychology and a licensed marriage and family therapist. Also, I'm the founder of Wheel of Wellbeing, which is a scientific sanctuary for the health and balance of mind, body, and spirit. As some of you may know, Wheel of Wellbeing is a pioneer in integrating different healing therapies and approaches, especially by emotional counseling and finding new ways for personal transformation, which leads to an internal state of joy. In my belief, it is only through achieving self-understanding and intending to be continuously aligned with a certain sense of positivity that a person can make the necessary changes for a happier life or a lifestyle. When we have verifiable information and we become aware of our willingness for transformation, then we are able to modulate our own individual and also the collective vibration of being and eventually become able to go through life with more success and joy. My personal joy and the collective joy that I have along with my colleagues and my valuable guests is to spend this time with you and introduce to you the alternative healing modalities that affect our psychological well-being. I see the psychological state of being as the meeting place of our mental activities, our physical abilities, and our spiritual beliefs. And that is why I believe in the process of psychotherapy as such a central component of goal setting and manifestation of well-being. In order to learn more about my point of views, you're welcome to visit my website, drsadiq.com. Also, you may like my Facebook page, Dr. Daniel Sadiq. And in order to learn more about Wheel of Wellbeing and its amazing practitioners in the fields of psychotherapy, acupuncture, yoga, energy works, nutrition, and other integrative modalities of healing, please visit wheelofwellbeing.com. Well, let's say to share the knowledge and the experiences that some of my guests have, and some of the best and the most valuable practitioners in Los Angeles area each week, and it's such an honor, such a privilege to have this opportunity and allow them to educate myself and those who are seeking some more knowledge in learning more about different types of healing, and especially in our approach for achieving internal joy, which is for every person is a different thing. You know, we each find our internal joy in different manners. But what we're united in is how this internal sense of joy comes from a transformation of past experiences into a now, present moment that they don't affect us any longer and they're not making us worry about our future situations. Each one of us has different backgrounds and life experiences, and according to those understandings, our psychological vibration functions in a different way. So with every special guest that we have and their experiences, we find a new way of transformation. And by introducing different approaches of creating a healthy and a whole person way of living, we can reduce stress, and we can facilitate an expanded internal sense of peace and tranquility, which literally amounts to a greater sense of self-esteem. The alternative ways that we learn in comparison with what we have been doing in the past or the things that we could be we could have been doing, and they're not helping us anymore. They allow us to reach a higher and more complete degree of awareness and then increase our selections and the positive choices. The more that we can make responsible choices, then eventually we learn more about ourselves, we acknowledge ourselves in a more positive way, and we are helping ourselves to build more self-confidence. That will increase our self-advocacy, and then again, to less stress. With a higher sense of self, we feel better about our security and our knowledge. We tend to find more balanced lifestyles and joyful. As you notice, continuously I emphasize on the human's essence of joy. And in order to be in touch with such joy, we have the choice of consistent pursuit of peace, happiness, and success. And to reach well-being and this joyful lifestyle, we have no choice but to know the true self, who this true self is, versus who the self who's masked or the false sense of self is. Oftentimes, this false sense of self, which is wearing a different mask in different occasions, becomes so convincingly true to us that we really forget about our essence, and eventually we get stuck in situations that are neither happy nor healthy. Well, when we find our true self, then we are able to move on and create balance in our needs, and the outcomes of our performance become different. In order to know what we need and how we can get them, it's not that simple, though. It requires a persistent effort in the face of our life challenges, the obstacles, the hardships, disappointments, even the times of disasters or the catastrophes, and in general, in events that are triggering traumas, big or small one, and they're in past or in present. To have a joyful sense of vibration, the changes then are needed, and those challenges can become easier once we are feeling that joy and that birthright that we have, we're born with, is back with us. So my invitation is to look at the self as the starting point for transformation, and whatever this self comes with in different forms, and to look at the different forms of energy behind our thoughts and our the actions and the powers to facilitate this change. Well, as science is proving some of the theories about our brain functioning, and we are catching up with the understanding of the powers that are within us, the field of holistic health, energy medicine, and energy psychology is growing rapidly. However, in order to understand the process of a holistic healing, which is with a W, as a whole person, we must first understand the nature of our energy and the energy system, and how to support ourselves in maintaining a positive flow of such energy through the pathways that we have in our body or around our body or in different forms. The question will be then, what do we really mean by energy in the field of healing? Every one of us has certain invisible energy system that flows in the body and in certain pathways. However, for example, in this Eastern philosophy, it's called different. They may call it the energy in the chakras or the meridians. When we are dealing with energy levels, we see how they can be depleted or challenged, and then it becomes difficult sometimes to manage our emotions based upon the different flows of those energies. It's going to be difficult to think positive thoughts, stay healthy, and eventually attract harmony in life. As the field of energy is still not well understood for many, including myself, it is like a new language to me, and that requires more learning, more practice. And in order to learn more about the language of energy, I have invited a very special person to teach us more and tell us how it relates to our overall health. Laura Fine is the founder and director of Lionheart Institute of Transpersonal Energy, a personal growth self-transformation program that teaches people the art and skill of professional training in energy healing. She has a master's degree in marriage and family therapy, and she has a master's of art in theater arts. She is a former actress, Actors Equity Association member. She's a licensed holistic health practitioner and a certified body-mind energy healing therapist. In the field of holistic healing, Laura is a graduate of Barbara Brennan School of Healing. She has intensively studied Kabbalistic healing for 2 years with the Society of Souls, and she has co-founded and is the director of Lionheart Institute of Transpersonal Energy Healing in Los Angeles. Having survived a life-threatening illness and being blessed by a heart transplant since then, she has a compassionate understanding for those going through a wide range of emotional and physical health challenges. She counsels numerous clients and couples who are facing crisis situations. Laura is also the author of a book called Laura's New Heart, A Holistic Healer's Journey Through a Heart Transplant. Laura has taught holistic healing to heart transplant patients at UCLA Hospital. She's also completing her latest book, The Exceptional Actor, The Seven Steps to Charisma, Chemistry, and Magnetism Through the Energy System of Acting. Laura has a second master's in marriage and family therapies, as I said before, from San Diego University, and her goal is continually to bring practicing what she preaches, as she puts it humbly, applying spiritual principles to her personal and professional life. Laura regards life challenges as opportunities to grow spiritually and assists her students and clients in applying these perspectives to their personal and professional life and work. Laura has had a dual career in both theater and healing, and she has done so much in that both of these fields. The list of her work is really so many that it's not going to fit in this program. Laura resides in Los Angeles, where she has a private practice in body mind therapy, energy healing, counseling, and coaching. Let's welcome together Laura Fine. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you, Daniel. Wow, what an introduction. I feel very honored to be here.
Enough. I kept some of them. There were so many of them.
Well, you know, I'm here to, first of all, thank you for this honored invitation. And I would love to build on the groundwork that you laid out so beautifully about energy healing and the language of energy, so that my goal is to give the listeners tonight some real tools that you can apply to build on your awareness and understanding. I sent an email out this afternoon or this morning to my mailing list that had in the heading, Awareness Precedes Action. And this is where we begin to implement change, the kinds of changes that you were talking about, Daniel, in our life, to try to make the changes that will bring us of experiences of feeling more centered when we're in conflict, or how to use language to create a different direction or a different result from the patterns that we've been in that lead us to a more harmonious way of being with ourselves. So I'd like to just launch right in, if that's okay, if you're ready for that.
The word that you started with, I love, is awareness. And awareness is actually, as you said it, clearly the first step. Without awareness, we really cannot take any other steps. We don't know what's in front of us if we don't have the light on it, if we don't really know what is laid in front of us. So please go right ahead and tell us, what do you really mean by the language of energy?
Yeah, the language of energy refers to how we use words to describe the dynamics that occur between two people when they communicate. So all matter, as we know, is composed of energy, and everything in the universe consists of energy. And because of that, energy is interconnected. It's in all of our thoughts, which we don't particularly regard it as such. We think of energy being outside of ourselves, but it's also inside of ourselves. It's in our body, in our physical body, and in our mental state as well. And there's a way in which we perceive through the energy field that is reflected in our mind and also that surrounds us in what we call the auric field. There's been some pretty interesting scientific studies that have been done with electrocardiograms, and there was a research project, I can't remember where I read about it, but where there are readings of the heart that confirm the human body produces an electrical field which radiates about 12 to 15 feet around the body. And that electromagnetic field, energy field, is produced in spirals that curve out away from the heart in the shape of a torus, like a donut ring, and mm-hmm. then come back into, the space that the physical body occupies. So when you think about, so what does that mean to us? Well, let me try to make useful sense for us, but by giving another analogy first. Like if you take a hologram of, say, for example, an apple on a glass plate, and then you drop that glass plate on the ground and it breaks into 100 pieces. So you pick up a piece of that glass plate and you shine a laser beam through it, and that little piece of the glass plate of the apple, when you shine that laser beam through, you get the whole apple. So in the same way, when we walk around with this torus field around us that emanates out from our whole being and from our heart, within every part of that auric field is a hologram of the whole being, of who and what we are. All of that information of who and what we are is contained within the entirety of the field. Whatever part of the field we're interacting with. So what does that mean in day-to-day use? Well, let's say you walk into a room.
Let me stop for a second. I'm sorry. Do you mean that it is like almost a projection of ourself into that field? So it's almost we can see a mirror image of our essence or our vibration in that field?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to reflect that back. It's maybe not so much a mirror image because each of us is unique, but yes, there is a projection of our whole self into the entire field.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so then if you walk into a room, it's not just that you're visually looking at or seeing somebody else, but you're actually feeling their energy. And we use that in our language all the time. We'll say, wow, I don't like that person's energy, or I do like that person's energy, or wow, when I see that person, they really get my back up. And there's an energetic feeling that we actually literally have in our spine. Or when we look at a person, we feel, or maybe it's ourselves, we feel like, wow, I've got a dark cloud over my head. What we're really describing is the phenomena of energy. So that's...
When we're talking about this phenomena, this is not just in its physical or visible form of energy. It is just communication of a certain frequency, correct?
That is correct. So that frequency exists in the space between us. It's not make-believe. It's not our imagination. But there is, you're absolutely right, an energy frequency that is in the air that has a vibratory rate that resonates not only in our auric field, in the field around us, but inside of our physical body. So that's where we'll also get phrases like, wow, I left that person and I just felt really uplifted, or I left that meeting and I feel so drained. And it's because we are experiencing the energy frequency that that person is walking around in, or that we are walking around in. And then just like in tuning forks, when you take two tuning forks and you ding them against something, the stronger or the bigger tuning fork will, or if you just ring one tuning fork, the other tuning fork will start to resonate, will start to vibrate and give off sound as well. So exactly. We are like that. We're like walking tuning forks, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great example.
So I would love to give our listeners tonight three main points that I'm hoping could be useful, and I hope I'm not going too fast. I feel like I'm kind of
excited.
So
you're doing great.
So
and, once you have those 3 points, then we have a listener that we can bring online and ask. So go ahead and give us those three points.
Okay, great. Because I get very passionate about this topic and excited because it's so intriguing to me.
It's an amazing topic and so new to myself. You know, although I have a kind of practitioner's license in the electromagnetic field, and I totally believe in the whole system. However, still there's so much newness to this, and the learning of this is so exciting.
Oh, hello? Hello, hello?
We hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, good. It just bleeped out for just a second. Okay, good. I'm back. So, so here are a couple of points that might be helpful to know. One is that hearing is a biological phenomena, but listening is a linguistic phenomena. And we can listen with the intent to understand, which happens from the heart. Or we can listen with an intent to want to respond. And so I'll come back to that in a minute and talk more about that. The second point I want to try to bring is that the power of language upwells based on the energy that is present in the person who is doing the communicating. And so you could say that the energy happens first, and the language, our use of language and linguistics reflects the energy that we are wearing or carrying within ourselves. And the last point that I want to be able to offer tonight is that the self-talk in our heads is also a reflection of our energy, state, and that with our objective observer, we can consciously choose to change our language and change our energy. And so I want to be able to help people to do that, if possible, tonight, if we have time.
Well, that's a very good way of looking at it. It's almost like you and I both achieve in psychotherapy, changing that self-talk or self-destructive belief sometimes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because when we do that, then our energy changes and we feel it. We feel lighter when we come out of a good therapy session. We feel lighter. We feel more hopeful. We feel more positive because awareness has shifted. Perception has shifted about what we came in with, you know, whatever that conflict was or that burden was. We've shifted our awareness around it and it's changed our energy.
Great. So would you allow me to bring a listener online and see if she has any questions, or she or he?
Sure.
Okay. You're online. Go ahead. Hello? We have a listener here online, 661-803-1806. I guess she left.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so... go ahead and let us know, what does the language reveal about who we are? How do we really get more of a self-understanding from this energy of the language?
Great question. So what happens is that there are four, what I like to use these terms, these four terms that I use to describe energy, which are push, pull, stop, and allow. And when we use our energy in push, when we have a tension in us, and sometimes we need that tension to push, to get things done, to accomplish something. And so that push energy might sound like words like, hurry up, will you? I don't have all day. Okay, so that's when we're really pushing our energy out at somebody else, and the language that follows is going to sound like that. And you can even hear what I'm doing with my voice when I talk about push. I start to go into that energy of push. And most of us, what we can begin to do to become more aware, more self-aware, is to notice when our language and our energy are incongruent. So we might be not saying, hurry up, will you, I don't have all day, but our language might be, it's okay, I don't mind waiting for you. So the language is saying, I don't mind, but our energy behind the language is still in push.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be a little crazy-making for us, because we have so learned to not trust our intuition, to not trust our sense, our visceral sense of things, that it creates confusion in our minds. And this is where we want to believe what we're hearing, but we negate what we're feeling. And this happens in romantic relationships all the time. So, for example, somebody will say, no, honey, I really care about you. I really, really do. But their actions or their energy behind that is giving you a very different message. And we've been trained, because we want to hear certain things, to not listen to the energy. We listen to the words and not the energy, even if they're incongruent.
I guess sometimes on this, if we call them negative energies, it's like when somebody is being sarcastic, or somebody is lying to us, or the way that somebody is ordering us to do something. So those tones of voice, they're carrying a certain energy that gets a different feeling from us, which if the person who's giving that kind of communication changes that format or form of energy, can get different results.
That's absolutely right. That's right. And I think what happens is we get blinded by what we want to hear rather than what is being said. And what's being said is not just through the verbal words, but through the energy that's present or that's transpiring between ourselves and another person. So we could, it's like when we leave an interaction with somebody and we don't feel good inside, or we feel really great inside, or you meet somebody and you just feel like you've known them forever. It's because of the feeling, the energetic feeling that's happening between us, between ourselves and that other person. And that's reading the energy. So there's true listening in that way requires being anchored in our field of visceral physical experience. It means we connect to our breath. I mean, how many of us go through the day and we don't even stop and take a deep breath? And we could all do that right now, actually, just that's good. That's slowing me down a little bit, because I'm a little bit racing. So if we just take a deep... I used to have this theory, Daniel, about cigarette smoking, that that really people, when they would say, God, I got to go have a cigarette so I can relax, it's not the cigarette that's relaxing, because cigarettes made of nicotine, and nicotine's a stimulant. So why do we feel relaxed? Well, we just did focused, concentrated, deep breathing for about 10 minutes. So my theory is it's really the deep breathing that we love that helps us to relax, to be calm, to center in ourselves, and to connect to the fact that we've got a body that we're walking around in, to come into our center. To do that means that we anchor into our visceral experience. And once we do that, we relax into our core self, like you were talking about earlier, into our kind of essential core self. Then we're listening from our whole being, not just from the mind. We're listening from the heart. We're listening from a grounded place. And we're perceiving and responding holistically rather than cognitively.
Great. So let me just play a short music, and maybe that gives us even a better mood of understanding this language of energy.
Beautiful. Well, maybe I can build on this a little bit with a bit of a guided meditation.
Continuing with Laura Fine on the language of energy. And Laura, as you were saying, this power, this force that with behind the words that we use is really what we're talking about as the energy that travels or gets transferred in certain frequencies between us. What else we need to know about it?
Well, I think there's one other really great point I'd love to bring out, which is that we create through language. We use language as an energetic vehicle to also make creations. So one really great simple example is we say, I am making a New Year's resolution, and here is my vow. And there's an energetic vibrational frequency that goes out into our auric field when we do that. And think about it in another way. When we say to ourselves, when we leave a conversation and we think to ourselves, or we say to a friend, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. Well, the reason that we have that reaction is because we've created something now through that interaction that we might wish we hadn't created.
Mm-hmm.
So we say something, that we regret, and we can feel the shift. A shift happens.
The relationship changes.
Yes, and we impact people positively or negatively by the way that we use language. We might not mean to do that, but when we're paying attention, when we're aware, then we can be really responsive. So we might say to somebody, for example, that outfit that you're wearing is really different for you. And the person who hears that might feel immediately insulted, or they might feel really flattered. And we might mean to say it in a really complimentary way, but it might be received in a really insulting way by the recipient. And they might not say anything, but the energy changes. And if we're paying attention, if we're anchored in our visceral being, we'll feel that. We'll feel their response. And then we have the ability to choose to say, hey, what happened when I said that to you just now? Did you think I meant something different? And there's a great line that I use when I teach that helps people a lot, and that is, when you said that outfit is really different, the story I made up in my head is you were really criticizing me. So this phrase, the story I made up in my head, can be really useful. And I want to share that with everybody because most of us think that our stories that, well, number one, we make up stories in our head. Number two, we hold that story to be the truth. And number three, we forget that we made it up. And then we suffer or enjoy the interpretation that we've made about the story. And this is where we get into trouble, yeah.
Yeah, so actually what is a personal truth becomes the personal reality, which it may not be the same as the reality and totally something made up as a story in our head.
Exactly. So we might think that someone else, that because we have a reaction to what someone else said, we think that it's the same as their motivation. If I think you insulted me, if I feel that you insulted me, then I tell myself your motive was to insult me. And I don't, that's the part I don't know. That's the story I'm making up. The story I'm making up is, wow, you said that on purpose to make me feel bad.
How can we change this, though? I mean, I know in the work that I do with my patients, I know that it's a belief. For example, it's really interesting. I just had a client maybe a few hours ago that was just telling me that how he feels insulted when somebody very close to him is laughing in response to what he says. And he feels insulted. However, when I brought to his attention, maybe that other person is laughing anxiously, and that's the way that this other person is feeling or showing his anxiety, already he realized that what he had believed and put in his head as a story may not be necessarily the truth of the matter or the reality of the matter, and there are other ways to think about it. So how in your line of work that kind of shift can be made?
That's such a great question, Daniel. Thank you, because I think so many people struggle with that, and there's a simple way to help with that, and it keeps it. It's all about continuing to come back into our own visceral experience, to reconnect to our own bodily experience to begin with. So first, we have to notice I'm having a physical reaction. I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling disconnected. I'm feeling shut down. I'm feeling intimidated, I'm feeling insecure, and we have to notice from our, what I call our objective observer, we begin to watch our own physiological reaction with curiosity and wonder, not judgment. It's not right or wrong what our body does, it's just, wow, look at that, my body tightened up when that person laughed just now. I felt really insecure. I felt really like disconnected from that person all of a sudden. So the first step is just to notice I'm having a visceral reaction. The second step is to take some breath, to breathe and to acknowledge that visceral reaction as a momentary ripple through your system, and not something that defines us, not something that limits us or labels us in any way. To just be curious about it. Wow, I had a spontaneous reaction. Look at that. And that reaction is my personal reaction. It was triggered perhaps by what that other person said or did, but that reaction belongs to me. And then the third step is to check it out with the other person. And how we can check it out is using that same line, you know, the story I'm making up in my head right now is that you said you laughed because you're making fun of me. And I'll tell you something funny, Daniel, about that, and that is that even if the person says, you know, you're right, I was, somehow when we name a true experience, when we take it out from behind the curtain and we just say it out loud, it dissipates the intensity and we find we really can handle it usually much better than if we keep the story quietly in our head where it tortures us.
It's kind of taking the sharpness of it away, you know, it's the desensitizing the event.
I think it really does. You know, I heard this great quote today from a woman, Ellie Drake, who I listened in on a conference call of hers, and she said a beautiful statement. She said, I am an inspired, courageous woman who is suffering. And I think it takes a little bit of that to be able to step forward and do this kind of work. It takes, first of all, a willingness to say, I'm suffering right now, to ourselves, and to be inspired and courageous enough to speak this out, the story that we're making up in our head. Now, the good news about doing that is when we do that, we find that that in fact I am courageous. We find these parts of ourselves, we exercise these parts of ourselves that we do have, that we know we have inside of ourselves. And we, it's like building up a tolerance muscle of our, just like you would build a physical muscle through working out with weights. This builds your emotional tolerance.
That's right. That's right. So do you want to give our listeners an exercise or any kind of affirmation?
Sure, I would love to. I think just quickly, if you've got a pen and paper, there's something really simple that you could do right now to help you recognize. And I would just say, take a piece of paper and draw three circles on the paper. And the circle in the middle is, I want you to label it as your objective observer, or what I sometimes call our essential self. And that essential self is the part of ourselves that self-observes our own behavior. And that part of ourselves is not judgmental, it's neutral, it's not biased, it's not attached to any outcome. That's our objective observer, the part of us that can observe our own visceral feelings, observe what's happening around us, and observes from a very neutral, unbiased place. And then let's label another one of these circles our wounded visionary. And this is the part that perceives the world or perceives our interactions from our wounded, and we all have this. We all have our wounded visionary. So it's not like you bypass this or you grow out of it. It's until we get that complete enlightenment, which most of us are not there yet, including me. But we are on that path. So in the interim, we want to get to know that wounded visionary and when that wounded visionary is sort of steering the ship. And that wounded visionary is our negative self-talk. It's our criticisms of ourselves and of others. It's that gossipy part. It's that part that is greedy, selfish. We all know what that part is. And then we have an inner visionary. And that third circle we want to label our inner visionary. And that inner visionary is our inner wise man or woman. It's our higher self. It's our intuitive, you could say, expanded sense of self, our self that has faith in a greater good, in a perfection, whatever qualities we would imbue that that inner visionary with. And so what I'd like to...
Let me ask you something. Is the inner visionary a higher sense of that objective observer?
I guess you could say that, but the objective observer in a way is a little bit different in that you could say the if we had three parallel lines, the objective observer would be in the center. And because the objective observer knows that there are moments when we have those highs, so when we go into that expanded state of the inner visionary, and that when we're in that expanded state, we're, you could say, elevated. And from that objective observer vantage point, we want to notice that with complete detachment, like, wow, look at me. I'm in a really elevated, happy place right now.
Yeah.
We want to be just as neutral when we're low. When you go, wow, look at me, I'm in this really dumped, depressed state right now. So that we're really identified and anchored in our center, which is that objective observer self. Because
right.
the other two go up and down.
Right.
So what I'd like to invite everybody to do for a minute is just to write, even if it's just three or four one sentence from each, the inner visionary and the wounded visionary, let them have a dialogue with each other. And it could be about a conflict that you might have had with somebody. It could be just some of your own inner self-talk. But let each of those characters, you could say, or sub-personalities, write a one line of dialogue and introduce them to each other and let them get to know each other. And this is and I'm just going to talk while you all are doing that. So,
if you want, I can play about a minute of music, and then you let them do that. How's that?
We could do that. That's fine. Take a minute to do that.
Let's take a minute. So do you want to give the instruction again?
Well, either that or they could be writing while I'm talking, which is just to have each one of those characters write a one-line dialogue of what, if they were a character in a play, how they would perceive the world. And this is something that I use myself, actually, when I've had a conflict with someone. I let each of them talk, and then I let the objective observer help me to mediate any kind of conflict. So people may have had a chance to write down a line or two, and I'm just wondering, this might be a time if anybody would like to share a statement that they wrote from their inner visionary, wounded visionary, and objective observer, or have a question. I'd be happy to hear what some of our listeners are experiencing.
Great. So we'll come back in a minute.
Okay.
Thank you.
we're back with Laura Fine, and we are doing an exercise in a communication between the wounded visionary, the inner visionary, and the objective observer. Is that right?
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, go ahead.
So, so this is, again, like I say, a tool that we can use to help us resolve conflict, whether it's an internal conflict just with ourselves, or to let ourselves dialogue by writing, you know, writing out what part of ourselves was engaged in a communication conflict that we might have had with another person. Was our inner visionary speaking? Was our wounded visionary speaking? Can we draw upon our objective observer?
So is this dialogue also at the same time that within us is with somebody else?
Yes, it's a way we can also try to begin to observe what part of ourselves is talking. When we're in conflict with another person, it's usually because one or both of us are functioning from that wounded visionary.
So let's use the example that I brought as my last client today. Say that the wounded visionary was saying that you are making fun of me. This is not fair, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. So then what we want to do is we want to, so if that person expresses that, right, that's the wounded visionary says, you're making fun of me, that's not fair. So with our objective observer, we want to first notice the language that just came out of our mouth, okay? And that might be when we express something like that in a reactive way, we might notice that, wow, what's the feeling, right? What's the energetic feeling behind it?
Very angry. The energetic feel of it is very angry and vocal and harsh.
Right, right. So that's the energy that comes out, and then that's coming out of our wounded visionary. So what we want to do is we want to, first of all, anchor back into our body, breathe, and notice, become aware ourselves of our own inner anger, and try to come back and anchor inward and just let that energy be present and notice it from that objective observer center. So the objective observer would say, wow, look at me, I'm really angry. And that's not something most of us do. And then is to take the time to notice that and to bring that self-talk in, wow, I'm really angry. And then the third step would be, is this what my inner visionary wants right now, to lash out, to express anger? My inner visionary really wants to say, you know, hey, I have something really important I'm trying to communicate. I want to communicate with you right now. And my inner visionary, what is it that my inner visionary really wants to have happen here? Because I lose sight of my goal when I'm in a reaction. I lose sight of the vision that I'm trying to have in my interaction with this other person. Does that make it a little bit more clear? Yeah.
So that inner visionary actually steps up and takes on a new role that is not based upon the energy force or energy field that was representing the anger. So this is the calmer and more elevated and new sense of being that is transformed from that negative energy. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. So I am going to go into this in more experiential depth in the Doorway to Transformation class that's coming up on January 29th. This is through Lionheart Institute, and if people are interested in experiencing this and learning how to have a little bit more skill development around it, you're welcome to go to lionheartinstitute.com and find out more about that class called Doorway to Transformation, an introduction to energy healing class at lionheartinstitute.com. So I know we're getting close to running out of time here, Daniel, so I wanted to just try to summarize or recap some of what we talked about, which is that listening is a linguistic phenomena, and that those linguistics are based on the intention from the heart, and that the heart exists not just in our physical body, but in our whole electromagnetic field, and that we communicate through the energy that we wear in our electromagnetic field. And the second point, that our language, the power of language, is based, or you could say arises from the energy itself that we're swimming in, or that is a reflection of our state, and that sometimes our use of language can be incongruent with the energetic state that we're in. And we often don't recognize that because we are not listening from an anchored place within our own visceral body, within our own heart center. We're listening cognitively and not from our whole being. And the third point, main point, that I want our listeners to take with them is that this objective observer part of the self can start to be utilized to notice the stories that you're making up in your head, to ask yourself, am I speaking from my wounded visionary or my inner visionary, by the way that I'm interacting in a conflict or in a conversation at this time?
Great. So can you, I know you started with the push, pull, stop, and allow. We talked about the push. What about the pull, stop, and allow? We have about...
Oh, yeah, I didn't get to that. You're right. Well, pull is about pulling our energy from other people. And the energy of pull looks like when we really lean on somebody, or we use this term a lot, that person is a real energy sucker. Where you're around someone and you just feel drained because
right.
It might be someone who you can't get them off the phone because they talk and talk and talk, or they're used to leaning on or relying on or pulling on someone else's energy. So that's the energy of pull.
Really draw from us.
Correct. That's right.
Yeah. And what do you
and
stop?
Then there's stop is when we withhold our energy from somebody else.
Mm.
So it's like we do this all the time. Couples do this all the time when they fight and they go into the silent treatment.
Right.
I'm giving you the silent treatment. I'm stopping my energy from flowing toward you because I'm angry or I don't like what you did. And it's okay to have anger, but we don't have to stop our energy flowing with our partner or our significant other or our friend, even when we're angry. And this is something that a lot of us don't even begin to know how to do or even notice that that's an option. Gee, can I really keep my heart open even
right.
while I'm angry? And it is possible to do that.
Right.
And then the last one is...
allow is the one that you want to stay with, to allow things to flow in the natural way. Thank you
yeah.
so much, Laura, for having all of this information shared with us. And I look forward to having you more on this program to us. Do you have any last message? Do you want to repeat your website?
Oh, sure. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me, Daniel. It's been great. And if you'd like to learn more about me or my work, and I also have a private practice where I do personal private sessions with people, you can go to lionheartinstitute.com. That's lionheartinstitute.com. Or you can call 818-640-6444. That's 818-640-6444. And I thank you again for having me, Daniel. This is a great show and a great service that you offer. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and it's an honor to always work with you.
Okay, thanks, Daniel. Bye-bye.